Reading this morning from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Genesis, chapter 23. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. And God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Take the son from here as a burnt offering on a mountain. And he said, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took his own two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he stood out for the place where he told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, go here with the donkey. But I and the boy go over there. We will leave it, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried a fire in the night. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, he's my son, Abraham replied. The fire on the wood of here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay the king. But the angel of the Lord called out to him and said, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up and there in the thick of the story lay and caught by a corn. He beheld and took the ring and sacrificed it with a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And as it told, it says, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. We move to that and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when called to go out for a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. But he was looking forward in a city of foundation, whose architect and builder is God. A God in expectation to live in us in it. A few thoughts this morning on faith. We all need a faith, a hope, and a purpose to live by, to give meaning and dignity to our very existence, do we not? We start by accepting God and mankind are intimately related, for God made us in his own image. God governs man for his own good, and through it all, even in our disobedience, God loves man. We continue then with the understanding that mankind realizes his own life by faith in God. A brief explanation here. Faith is the basis upon which God can work out his will in man, and man can work out his salvation from God. To believe that truth that man is related to God is tomorrow a most amazing renewal of hope. Now we can go forward with the amazing truth that mankind is related to God, for God created us, understands us, and consequently, He alone can govern us. Man, thou art of God. Wonderful words from 1 John 4:4. This is the philosophy offered to us. Our obedience yielded to God. We walk with God by relying on His power. As man is related to God by creation and then government, it follows that for the full realization of man's life is that of faith, which can only be expressed itself in obedience. When our faith wavers, it is simply an act of disobedience, for faith and obedience are linked together. We have a declaration before us which simply but clearly says the just shall live by faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith then encompasses belief, confidence, and trust. Faith and obedience are always joined together in the scriptures. Trust and obey. There is no other way. You'd be familiar with that beautiful thing. The fact of faith rests on what Christ has done, as Paul states in 1 Corinthians 13. And now about its faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Our relationship with God begins with faith, delivered from our past by Christ's death. Hope grows and gives us a promise of a future. Importantly, God's love gives us the ability to reach out to others. Jesus looked up and saw the faces of four friends. They had nothing to ask for themselves. If only we can give Jesus, our friend, close to Jesus. This is what friends do, isn't it? Jesus saw their faith as they lowered the person from the roof. Effective faith grows under pressure, becoming stronger through endurance. Effective faith is hope anticipated, as Hebrews 11. It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty of what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Faith is believing in God's character. He is who He says. He will do what He says. Therefore, faithfulness should be a characteristic of God's people. Mark 9. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will it season? We must have this good salt in ourselves and have peace with one another. For the just shall live by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is to be found in us and our. We should remember God's faithfulness. We should make a difference for good in the world. We should counteract evil with the love and the message of God. Determined to the principle of faith in God's take your son to Palestine, but leave this house. God is able to work a remaking of us so that we find the way back into a conscious relationship with Him. Faith is a gift from God, Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Growing in faith is a constant daily process. A constant daily renewing our trust in Jesus. Faith then is the conviction based on past experience that God's promises will surely be ours. The beginning of faith is believing. He is who He says He is. The final point, He will do what He says. The wonder of God's rational reasoning will find its fulfillment in man, in us. A fist of faith. What? A fist of faith. A fist of faith means boosting on what Christ has done, but it also means hoping for what He will do for us in the future. Romans 8. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now let us look at the famous story of Abraham offering up his son Isaac. Abraham's offering, to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. This strange command of God and the strange obedience of Abraham to the command. The trial of Abraham. God tempted him to discover his graces. A little history then of the seven occasions upon which we are told Jehovah appeared to Abraham, for they all lead up to the final event. At the very beginning, Jehovah said, I will bless thee and make thee a blessing. Thou shalt be a great nation, and in thee all the nations will be blessed. The whole human race was in the mind of God when Abraham was called. The first divine communication was to leave where he was, resulting in obedience even to Canaan. Abraham, in fellowship with God, shared the divine discontent and the call to leave. In the second appearing, God promised him land where a divine purpose would be carried out. Thus Abraham entered into the fellowship with the message of God. After some time, God appeared to him again, promising him a son. Abraham now called into fellowship with the patience of God. The next saw a strange vision. God called Abraham into fellowship with the hope of God. The fifth appearance, Abraham was brought into a consciousness of the all-sufficiency of God for his own enterprise. The next appearance was one of which Abraham challenged God. So Abraham came into fellowship with the justice of God. So we come to the story of the final appearance. Now a call to action that seemed to make impossible the realization of God's purpose. Now we are still wrong. Nothing to strengthen him for suffering and the continuity of his faith. A command without reason. Certainly we do reason. Without promise. Obedience that threatened all of the values of the past. But in this experience, Abraham was led into a new and more intimate fellowship with God than he had known before. Take now your son, your only son whom you love, and offer him for a burnt offering. For Abraham, this had to be a dark time. This is a teaching time for us all. But then we are going to worship God, we should seriously consider. Where is the heart? Is it ready to be offered up to God, to ascend to him as a burnt offering? Our examination of this passage will follow two lines. The meaning of God, the triumph of Abraham. That poor man when he said, to them that love God, all things work together for good. God was calling Abraham into fellowship with himself, so that the divine purpose could find fulfillment. God commits testing for all his children, even his own son Jesus Christ, later going to the cross in full obedience for us all. God committed testing. God is now bringing Abraham into a final stage of fellowship with himself in his suffering. Jehovah was saying to his servant Abraham that if there is to be full fellowship with him, there must be fellowship in suffering also. God was calling Abraham to do what he himself was doing later for us, the cross of Calvary. Let us now consider the amazing obedience of Abraham, where we see he was desperately determined that he should not fail in the way of obedience, following the divine pathway marked out for him. I, for one, have to look much deeper into this amazing story to see what was at all possible to carry the truth. The answer would appear to be in verse 5. And Abraham said to his young man, abide here with the donkey, the Lord and I will go, and we will worship, and we will come back to you. What is so significant here is that Abraham not merely said, we will worship, but did you notice? We will come back to you. Abraham is leaving behind the young men who had traveled with him. He was going on to build an altar, going on to lay water on the altar, going on to bind the boy, going away to slay him, going away to offer his only son Isaac as a burnt offering, as commanded. He and Isaac were going on to worship, yes. But did you notice, he said, we will come back to you. Abraham is walking in obedience, yes. But to give up his much loved son and the learning of promises were to be fulfilled through him. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the writer refers to that Abraham was accounted that God was able to raise him, his son Isaac, even from the dead. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built the altar, laid the wood on it, burned his son Isaac, raised him up to slay his son. All this emphasizes that we see Abraham reaching the ultimate in obedience to God, saying within himself, I will obey at whatever the cost. God will not fail to fulfill his promises. And if I, in obedience, slay my son, commit murder, break the commandment, even so, God will raise him from the dead. For God will not fail in his promises or his purposes. What an amazing enduring faith is given to Abraham. How easy to stop short in fellowship with God at some point when the going becomes seemingly beyond us. We have to remind ourselves that effective faith grows under pressure. During times of great stress, we can feel God's patience more clearly. Even receiving help from other Christians that we thought may not be interested. Hebrews 10, now my just one shall live by faith. But to Abraham, where we must acknowledge that his patient ability is based on his previous relationship with God. He was preparing him for the argument of faith, the revelation of the rationality of faith. Have we ever thought that we were being prepared for what lay ahead for each one of us? I'm sure we have. I certainly have thought it over the years. Faith brings direction which results from reason. By the recognition of God, Abraham was brought into fellowship with God, and that fellowship resulted in victory, as you see in verse 16 onwards. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God always blesses obedience, and obedience flows out of the genuine faith. We wait with patience, believing, understanding will come. We can rejoice in hope because we believe in God. We talk with him honestly in prayer, revealing our doubts, going quietly forward with him, and to wait patiently for him. Then effective faith will grow, stronger, still endurance. First, it is wisdom. Then, building on what God has done for us in the past. Abraham obliged God to carry the wood, while he carried the fatal knife and fire. It must have been a very affecting question when Isaac asked his father, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb? A painful question for Abraham, a teaching question for us. But when we are going to worship God, we should seriously consider, where is my heart in worship? Is it ready to be offered up to God? to listen to him as you don't have. Abraham's answer to all the questions is very, very interesting. My son, God will provide for himself the land. A reference here to the promised Messiah. Christ will sacrifice in our place as the lamb instead of Isaac, and his death, Jesus, was our destroyed. How could Abraham tell those guiltless hands that often had been stretched out to him to embrace him? He raised them out. Here is an act of faith with full obedience and understanding of the law of God has for us. In delivering up his only begotten Son to suffer and die for us as a sacrifice. We too must serve in the steps of this faith. God by his word calls us to be part with all for Christ. The best evidence of our loving God is our willingness to serve and honor him with that which is dearest to us. Not an easy task, only possible by the relying on the grace of God. God called Abraham not only as a man of faith, but a man of endurance. I am. Are each of us ready? What an amazing encouragement Genesis 22 is for us. Not easy to understand at first. Difficult to meditate on in places. You're teaching us a powerful message about true love. Abraham was certainly a man of great faith, but again, he had developed endurance which enabled him to rest in God's timing. For the promises God placed before him took many years to be fulfilled. For us, it was a learning experience to see how the connection between waiting, question and hope. Psalm 33. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. God had promised to make Abraham mention. God was pleased to make mention of Abraham's obedience as a consideration of the covenant in verses 17 and 18. Blessings I will bless you and multiply. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is at the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the boat of the enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham died having seen some, certainly not all, of God's promises fulfilled. He stands in precisely the same situation. God will certainly fulfill all his promises towards us. The promise points to the Messiah and the grace of the gospel, the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, as he did the lamb, an encouragement to all believers to cheerfully trust in God until that moment comes. It is ours to go forth and forth with God and to wait patiently for Him. Let us all pray. Father God, help us to live by faith where there is no question as to your faithfulness. To not really believe in the Bible as your word for us. To be nurtured in our faith and encouraged by the gifts of your life. To have confidence in your promises, even in the difficult days of our lives. We trust in your mercy because you have dealt so bountifully with us in the past. Amen.